All right, there was a good evening. Let us begin. I'm sorry that we're just getting started a few minutes late, but Baruch Hashem. Okay, we'll have to figure out. I realize the schedule going forward now with Mincha Ma'ariv as it is. But okay, we have a little bit of time here, so until next Thursday. So we are picking up tonight on Lamed Amud Aleph, and we are picking up into the wide lines, fourth line in Avod Shmuel V'Levi. Right, so the father of Shmuel and Levi, Kahavu Baile Mefak L'Archa, Havi Mekadmi Umatzli. Ultimately, again, so when he had to go out, into the travel, ultimately, again, he would go ahead and daven early. V'chihavu Matiz Man Kriya Shema, in order to daven Shmona Esrei early. V'chihavu Matiz Man Kriya Shema Karu, and when the Zman for Kriya Shema would come, he would go ahead and recite Shema. So the Gemara says, Kiman. Whose opinion on ours? Who is he doing this in accordance with? Kiman, ki ha tana disanya hishkim latzeis laderech. If a person had to travel early, mevi'en lo shofar v'tokea lulav u'mena'anea megillah v'koreba. So we'll say this is reflective of another opinion that exists within Shas, that in general, when a person has to go ahead and leave early, on a trip early, and there are mitzvot that he has to perform. The halacha is that he goes in and can perform the mitzvah earlier, even though he's leaving very early in the morning. And when the zman for kriya shema comes, ultimately then you can say shema. So just to give a little bit of context over here, the Gemara really is talking about a situation where a person is leaving after alos, a person is leaving after dawn. So technically speaking, dawn is technically still a bit too early for kriya shema. So the idea, but technically speaking, one could recite Shmona Esrei already after dawn. So in these type of situations, because Shmona Esrei requires a bit more kavanah, and because ideally Shmona Esrei requires you to stand, so therefore you could daven Shmona Esrei very early, and then when the zman for kriya shema comes, you could recite Shema then. Hishkim leishe bakarna b'svina. What happens if you got up early because you're traveling by wagon or by boat? Mispalel. See, daven Shmona Esrei. Kishema giyaz man kriya shema kore. And when this man for kriya shema comes, you go ahead and recite it then. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer. Ben kach. Kore kriya shema mispalel kidei shismo kul l'tfila. So this is interesting. Rabbi Shimon. So all of these previous opinions are predicated on this idea that you could split up Shema and Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, no, there is a mandate to dafka go ahead and recite and juxtapose Shema to Shmona Esrei, what we call Smichas Geula L'Tfila, to juxtapose the bracha of Gal Yisrael to Shmona Esrei. So remember again, we learned this earlier in the Masechta, that the idea of the theological concept of juxtaposition of Geula L'Tfila, of Gal Yisrael to Shmona Esrei, the logic of that is, ultimately again, to go ahead and, Gal Yisrael represents the idea that we believe in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the historical Redeemer. Shmona Esrei represents, again, a tefillah asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of our contemporary needs. So a person who juxtaposes Geula, which represents God's role as the historical Redeemer, to Shmona Esrei, which is when I call upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go ahead and be my contemporary Redeemer, that is a very powerful combination. So the Gemara said, "What are they arguing about?" So this is interesting. The machlokes is the following: What's better? Is it better to daven Shmona Esrei standing up, even though what you will not juxtapose it to Shema, or is it better to juxtapose Shema Geula to Tfila and recite both of them sitting down? That's the fundamental shayla. That's the machlokes. So again, I will say, and you can see both sides. On one hand, saying Shmona Esrei standing up, the pashtos would provide a person with a heightened level of kavanah, but you're missing out on smichas geula l'tfila. On the other hand, going ahead and being smichas geula l'tfila is incredible, but you may be missing out on the opportunity to daven Shmona Esrei in the ideal fashion. It's very interesting. Merei mar marzutra, havi michtifi b'yasar b'shabsa derigla, umatzlu v'hadr naf gila pirka. So we'll say it's very interesting. Mareimar, Mareimar and Marzutra. So I will say, on the Shabbos before the Regel. So take a look at Rashi for just a moment. You see Rashi b'Shabbos derigla? It's right across from Tosus Avuha. So he writes over here, Shelifnei Pesach va'atzeres v'sukis, u'mareimar b'iro, u'marzutra b'iro, havu hadar shonim. V'shachris hayu, so let's listen to this. On the Shabbos before Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkis, Mareimar and Marzutra would go ahead and give a drasha. Now, how did the drasha work? It's actually very interesting. How did the drasha? So, in other words, when we say the drasha, they were teaching the halachas of Yom Tov. That was really happening over here. So, how would they teach the halachas of Yom Tov? This is actually very interesting. So, he says as follows: V'shachris, meaning Rashi, V'shachris hayu ha'am holchem lebeis hamedrash. So this is fascinating. So what happened is the shir would take place in the morning. So the Rav would be giving the shir. And as the time for Kriya Shema came, what would happen? People would recite Shema while sitting in the Beis Medrash, listening to the shir. And then they would leave the Beis Medrash to daven Shemona Esrei. Interesting. Interesting practice. So this is something interesting. So they got a minyan before the shir started. They gathered a minyan in shul or wherever it was before the shir started, and that way again they daven with a minyan beforehand. Okay, so the Gemara says Rav Ashi matzli behadit tzibura. B'yachid miyushav. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Rav Ashi, on the other hand, would go, I look at Rashi. Rashi says, Rav Ashi, haya Rashi Shiva Masa Machazia. So Rav Ashi was also Rashi Shiva. He says, V'dorish, he would also give the drasha. And what would happen? He says, V'hu lo haya mispalo kodim beis hamedrash, ela kishamazgia zman kishma lo chesh har be'yachal ha-meturagamana, omi lefanov, obot sha-meturagaman mashmil rabim, So this is interesting. So on one hand, Ravashi on the other hand, what would he do? Ravashi would go ahead and would not gather a minion before the shir. He would give the shir. Then when it was time for Shema, what would he do? This is actually fascinating. He would, remember, we'll say, the way it used to work is the Rosh Hashiva would give the shir, and the Rosh Hashiva would have a Turgamon. Turgamon literally means a translator. But in this context, it means something much greater. Remember, the Rosh Hashiva would give over complicated ideas. It was the job of the Turgamon to then take complicated ideas and to distill them into a simpler form so that it could be understood by the masses. So listen to this. So Rav Ashi, when he was in the Beis Medrash giving shir, and it came time for Shema, what did he do? He gave the Turgamon a large chunk of information that essentially would keep the Turgamon busy for a while. And while the Turgamon was busy, Rav Ashi would daven Shema and Shmona Esrei right there. Now Rashi says, why didn't Rav Ashi just go ahead and leave? Right? He would daven Shmona Esrei sitting down. Why wouldn't he get up and leave? Because Rav Ashi understood if he got up and leave, everybody would stand up, and it would just be a tircha. It would just be a difficulty for everyone. So we'll say, so what we see over here is we have two different models. You have Mereimar and Marzutra. Mereimar and Marzutra would dafka gather a minyan before the shir. Rav Ashi would go ahead and essentially daven during the shir, Shema and Shmona Esrei sitting down. I mean, Shmona Esrei sitting down after giving a large chunk of information to the Torgamon to disseminate to the masses. Okay, very interesting. So the Gemara says, "Ki hava asi lebeise hadar umatzli meumad." So this is interesting. When Rav Ashi would come back home, what would he do? He would daven Shmona Esrei again, but this time standing up. Amri le Rabbanan v'le'avid mar kimereimar marzusha. So the other rabbis ask Rav Ashi, why don't you conduct yourself like Mereimar and Marzutra, right? Why don't you go ahead and just get a minyan before the shir. So the Gemara says, Amr lehu tshricha li milsa. So Rav Ashi said, it's too difficult for me. Again, we'll say now, what does that mean, it's too difficult for me? Rashi says, la'achar beis hamedrash ad she'espalo. Apparently, we'll say, so just to understand what's happening over here, Rav Ashi used to convene his shir earlier. So if he were to gather a minyan before the shir, it would effectively do what? Delay the start of the shir. So Rav Ashi said, it's too complicated for me to do this. The Gemara says, so why don't you go ahead and conduct yourself like the father of Shmuel and Levi. Remember again, that's what we saw before. Father Shmuel and Levi would go ahead and daven Shmona Esrei. It was when he was traveling. He would daven Shmona Esrei standing up in his home. And then later on, say Shema. So why don't you at least do that? That way you'll chap Shmona Esrei standing up. So he says, Amr lehu, lo chazina lehu l'rabbanan kashishi minan da'avdi hachi. Very interesting answer. So Rav Ashi said, I never saw my teachers engaging in this practice. really interesting, right? I never saw this done. I know that the father of Levi and Shmuel did it, but I never saw it done myself. So we'll say it's really fascinating. So essentially what you see over here is you have these two different models. Meremer and Mazush are gathering a minyan before their shir, and davening, normal davening. Ravashi, starting his shir earlier, gives a big piece of information to the Torgamon, and while that's happening, davens Shema and Shmona Esrei sitting down. And then when he gets home later on, he goes ahead and he davened again. And I must say, what's interesting, what's underlying a lot of this, I just point out, is something really interesting, which is that this tension almost that you see between tefillah and Torah. Right, because that's what's unfolding over here. It's almost like, you know, in other words, Saravashi, start the shir later. Right, what's the big deal? How long does davening take? So just start, I mean, it's Shabbos, maybe it's a little bit longer. First, you just have to do shacharis, you don't have to do musaf, start later on. But you begin to see something that you see this reluctance to go ahead and kind of eat into the time of Torah. It's just this interesting tension. I think I will say, like, even, like, personally, a lot of times we struggle with this. You know, what a lot of times in life, it's interesting how the pendulum kind of swings both ways. Sometimes in life, I'm very connected to davening, and davening gives me like a high even greater than Torah. And then there are other times in life where davening does very little for me. But the truth is, like, where I get my gishmak, you know, where I really go ahead and really feel a sense of connection is learning. So you see, like, both of these spiritual processes possess a tremendous amount of energy. And the shaila just is really what you see the tension is which one takes precedence. Now, what I will also mention is, remember, these cases are a little bit different. Why? Because this is what we call Talmud Torah Derabim, Torah learning of the masses. Now remember, anytime you have Talmud Torah Derabim, that is always going to have a different kind of value and a different kind of power associated with it. Okay, Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Ein Tfilah Samusaf and Ela B'Chaver Ir. Supposedly, I listen to this. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you can only daven Musaf B'Chaver Ir. Now, what does that mean, B'Chaver Ir? Look at Rashi. Ein Tfilah Samusaf and Ela B'Chaver Ir. Lo Tiknua Ela B'Tzibor. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, the tefillah of Musaf was only instituted within a tzibur, within a congregation. In other words, the only time you daven Musaf is if you have a minyan. And if you don't have a minyan, you don't daven Musaf. Okay, so Rashi says over here, he says, Chaver ir chabura sa'ir aval lo liyochid. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's position, you don't, a yochid individual doesn't daven ma'ariv, only a tzibur davens ma'ariv. Okay, the chum say, no, that's not true. Although ideally, of course, it's always good to daven with a minyan. But if for some reason you don't have a minyan, still daven musaf, even without a minyan. Rabbi Huda omer mishmo, komokum shiye sham chaver ir, yachid parter mitfilah samusafin. So this is interesting. Rabbi Huda says, wherever there is a minyan, ultimately, again, the individual is exempted from davening musaf. Okay? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Huda, Hainu Tanakama. And I will say, first blush, Rabbi Huda and Tanakama are saying the same thing, right? Rabbi Huda and the Tanakama are saying the same thing, right? Because remember again, Rabbi Huda, right? Rabbi Huda, Hainu Tanakama, Ika Benayu, so we'll say, what's the nafkamina between them? Yochid Shalo Bechaver Ir. So we'll say, the nafkamin would be the following case. What happens if you have an individual, and there is no minyan in town? Tanakama Savar Pater. So the Tanakama, who's the Chachamim, will say ultimately, again, that you're Pater. Because the Rabbi ben Azariah holds, there is no din of Musaf outside of the congregation. But Rabbi Huda Savar Chayiv. Rabbi Huda would still say that you're Chayiv. Amar Rav Huna, Bar Chinana, Amar Rav Chiyah, Bar Amar Rav Chiyah, Bar Rav Halacha, Rabbi Huda, Sha'amar Mishum, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So ultimately, Rechiyah Barav says the halacha is like Rabbi Huda, who said over the halacha in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Armalei Rechiyah Bar Avin, Shapir Ka'amrit, Damer Shmuel. So we'll say this makes a lot of sense. Why? Because what did Shmuel say? Miyomai lo matzumat salisin de musafin biyachid. So we'll say this is fascinating. So you have over here that ultimately, again, Shmuel said, I never davened Musaf without a minyan. I never davened Musaf without a minyan. So the Gemara says, Amud Beis, Rabbosai, Amud Beis. The Narda, I'm sorry, let me read that sentence the whole way. So the Amr Shmuel miyomai lo matzilna talusa de musafin biyachid benarda. I never daven musaf on my own. I never daven musaf on my own. Lebar meahu yoma de asa pomusa de malka lemasa vatridu rabbanan velotzalo vitzali li biyachid. So this is interesting. So Shmuel said, I never daven. I will say, so just follow the progression over here. Right? So you have Rabbi Chiya bar Rav saying that Halacha follows Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was the first opinion of the Mishnah who said that Musaf only takes place in the context of a Tzibur. There is no such thing as an individual davening Musaf. Davening Musaf. The Gemara says that actually makes a lot of sense. Why? Because Shmuel said, I never davened Musaf as an individual in Narda, in all of the days I lived in Arda, except for one day when the Pulmasa, when the king's army came to the city, Va'atridu Rabbanan, the rabbis were very distracted because the whole army came, Velot Salu, and there wasn't a minion, and therefore again, Vitzali Libi Yachid, and I davened by myself. That was the only day I davened by myself. Otherwise, I never davened by myself, Musaf. I the Gemara of Ahavi Yachid, Shelo Bechaber Ir. Ultimately, again, and I was that in that case, I was an individual without a minion in the city. So when you are an individual without a minion in the city, supposed to essentially remember again, this is Rabbi Yehuda qualifying the statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, there is no obligation of Musaf for a Yachid when there is a minion that is davening Musaf. But if there is no minion in the city, then what? The individual becomes obligated. As Shmuel said, I never davened Musaf as an individual, except for the one day that the king's army came to town, the rabbis were distracted, there wasn't a minion, and therefore, again, because there wasn't a minion, I, as an individual, had an obligation to go ahead and daven Musaf. Interesting. So, you know, we have to... Yeah.
He's saying, all right, if he was sick, so he didn't go to shul, he can't have him because there is a minion in town.
That is correct. Essentially, what he's saying is the presence of a minion precludes the individual from davening by himself. The only time an individual davens by himself is if there is no minion in town. Yeah. Now, I will say, now what we haven't discussed is like why is Musaf unique like that? Like why does that come to Musaf? All right, you know, we'll have to Meretz Hashem pick this up on Monday. So we'll pick up on Monday. Again, we'll finish off the sugya, finish the parak Meretz Hashem. Shkoyach. Sorry that we got a couple of minutes of a late start over here. All right. So this is a discussion. So certainly during the times of the